to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm here with my wife, Jen.
Hey.
This is Jen.
I'm Jennifer.
And we have a very special guest.
Yes, we do.
Joining us today from Upcycle for Change.
Yes.
Here in St. Catharines, Ontario.
That's right.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready for this?
We are ready.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Put your hands up like this. Okay. Everybody put your hands up like this.
Yeah.
Put your hands up. Put your hands up.
Your hands up.
All right, here we go. Yeah. We have Cicely Zapatella from Upcycle for Change.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hello, welcome.
That was fun.
Welcome.
That was thank you.
We always put our hands up like this. No, we don't. That was the first time ever we've done that.
No one's gonna know.
I think so.
And everybody listening to this. Everybody listening will be like,
They'll be sitting there going,
yes.
Should I put my hands up?
We like to be strange. It's early. I haven't drank all my coffee yet, so I have lots of excuses. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We are fine.
That's good.
I want you to introduce yourself to the world. We are so happy to have you on the Upcycle Canada podcast. We have been donating some paint to your wonderful organization. We love what you do, and the idea and the chance to speak with you is great. So we want to open the door. Let's just hear a little bit about you yourself. First, before we get into Upcycle for Change, tell the world about you. I want to hear about you. Let's go.
Well, my name is Cicely. I'm 21, turning 22 very soon, and I go to Brock University. I'm just a student. As St. Catharines, lived here my whole life. I love upcycling just like you guys. That's pretty much how we met through my parents, like we were saying. So that's awesome. Everyone kind of upcycles around us. So I've just been super artsy and crafty my entire life and was looking for an outlet for that. And that's pretty much how I kind of ended up here. I started upcycling furniture. I did before, but especially when COVID started, I started doing it just for fun in the summer. I'd find things on the side of the road, and I'm like, oh, what else do I got to do with my time today? Everything's closed. So I would just start painting and upcycling and just started a small business and selling stuff for extra cash because everything was closed. And one thing turned into another, and it just became more of a hobby than it ever was before. And became really obsessed with it. And then that's kind of how Upcycle for Change slowly started, kind of.
So yeah. That's amazing. So who taught you how to do this?
My mom and my dad. Well, my dad's a carpenter. Yeah, so he'd help me with all the cutting wood, fixing things, gluing things, all that nitty-gritty stuff that's not as fun as painting something and making it look pretty, but you have to do it. So he taught me about that, and then my mom taught me all about painting and what paint to use and what products to use, and it was always trial or error. I'd start something, and then, you know, when I was first learning, I'd be like, Mom, think I messed up. I need help. And it was just for a while, you know, they'd help me out, and then you learn, and it's all good now, but every piece of furniture is different. So I'm always running into something where I'm like, I've never seen that before. Or this is a weird wood or lots of wood filler, lots of sanding. Got to even it out. So you're always still kind of learning along the way.
That's amazing. So were you doing this before Upcycle for Change or at the same time?
Before. Like I said, this was always kind of a hobby, and then it turned into a business. And I was, you know, making stuff, flipping it. I was going to some craft shows like you guys were doing, because I'd also sell like vintage decor and just like old cute clothes and flip like sets of furniture. So it was really fun and I really enjoyed it. And then I was looking for a volunteer opportunity, but with COVID, there wasn't really too much to do, but I also wanted it to be creative. I didn't want to like sit in another, you know, office and do paperwork or do something administrative. I do that for a job. I'm a legal assistant part-time too. So I wanted something that was more hands-on and a creative outlet. And I just really like could not find anything, especially with COVID. that was a little bit more relaxed and less stress because school's busy, and I wanted something that was more casual, just a couple hours a week, nothing crazy. Everything required like so much training that I was able to find. So I slowly started kind of thinking like, how can I incorporate what I love? And what I was hoping to do was kind of help our homeless population and community downtown St. Catharines, or like individuals, you know, facing poverty or some financial hardships. Like that's mostly the area I wanted to help in. I was like, how can I take like my interests and somehow do something for that, you know, community? And this is kind of what I came to. I was slowly connected with the Furniture Bank of Niagara through a program I'm in at Brock called Law Plus. So some of the people there just happened to know who I was and know what I wanted to do, and was like, maybe the Furniture Bank might be something good. And I started talking to Matt at the Furniture Bank, and I was like, I'm looking to, you know, upcycle some stuff for people who need furniture, who can't afford it. Like, I don't know if anything like this exists, but I want to be able to provide like nice furniture to individuals who can't buy something themselves. Like, I don't want them to not be proud of, you know, the furniture that's in their home. Like, I want them to still feel like their home's their home. So he was like, actually, you know, we do need someone to upcycle some donations that come in that need a little bit of TLC, or we can't send out, or they need to be fixed or updated, like they're super out of date. So I was like, okay, maybe there can be something here. I think I can make this, you know, into a program under the Furniture Bank where we just extend their reach. So we upcycle the furniture that comes in so we can reach more people and, you know, make sure it's looking extra nice and modern and not like it's from the 40s or 50s. Some people like that. Sometimes I like that myself, but, you know, have something that can be given to a home or people that need it where, like, they're proud of it. So that's kind of how it slowly came to be. A lot of hemming and hawing and trying to figure out how I can turn my interests into, you know, something in the community where I can kind of volunteer and spend my time productively and helping people. But yeah.
That's amazing. So tell me more about Niagara Furniture Bank. We've been down there several times too. Amazing people. Awesome. You know, a great team. Tell me what do you like about setting up shop there and doing Upcycle for Change at the Niagara Furniture Bank?
Yeah. Without them, I would not be able to do this. Like, complete disclaimer. Like, they're amazing and they're such great people here. So I have a section in one of the warehouses where I have a whole upcycling station. So we have volunteers come in and everything, and they're super supportive of us here. So whenever something comes in, they're always setting aside the furniture for us that, you know, we can upcycle. They're always here to help. The Furniture Bank is awesome. They provide, you know, supports to like families who can't afford, you know, new furniture or mattresses, people coming out of Jillian's place. You know, homeless individuals getting transitional housing where they might need furniture or getting their first apartment. So they're really here to help anyone in the community who needs it. So that's what's so great about them. And not a shameless plug here, but if you guys ever want to donate, feel free to donate to the Furniture Bank because your furniture is going to a good place. But yeah, that's pretty much what they're about here. It's amazing. Their motto talks about how no one should be allowed to sleep on the floor. So they're always providing mattresses and beds to individuals who need it. Furniture poverty is a very hidden problem in our community. Just because you have an apartment does not mean you can afford to furnish it, especially when you struggle to get the apartment in the first place. So that's why they are here. And that's why they're so helpful to us too, because they want to help individuals in our community flourish in what they want to do. So it's why it's the perfect fit. Very cool. It's good.
So tell us about your volunteers. First of all, how does somebody become a volunteer for Upcycle for Change? How would they ever even get in contact with you if they're here in the city, in the area? But two, just kind of tell us a little bit about the type of people that are volunteers that work with you.
Yeah, honestly, this is a great thing. So if anyone ever wants to volunteer, we mainly use Instagram. So it's Upcycle for Change with like the number 4 in the middle. And you people just DM us. So at the end of each month, I post Instagram posts and time slots for the following month. And people just DM us to sign up, and we fill up relatively fast, which is amazing. The volunteers who come through are awesome. They're mainly high school and university students. We also have some community members that volunteer as well. And it's perfect because it's become like this like small little like safe haven for very creative individuals who want to help with, you know, the community in different ways. So like I was talking about before, and not everyone wants to do, you know, paperwork or has 5 hours to give each week or, you know, a whole day to a certain event. It's like nice in the middle. So the people who come through are normally very creative, very open individuals, just very friendly. Everyone becomes friends here. So there's been some really good friendships made here, which is awesome. And they all just care about the people around them. That's pretty much all. There's people from all different kinds of like programs at Brock, you know, all different ages, boys and girls, anybody who wants to come. So it's really a diverse group, but in the best way possible. So there's no like one set or mold for like who volunteers with us. It's really anyone who wants to either learn how to upcycle, enjoys making things or painting, or, you know, just wants to help out some people in our community.
I was just thinking, so one of the things your basic medium, I suppose, you work with is wood, correct? And like furniture and all that? Yeah. So the nice thing about that, though, is it is forgiving. Like you were saying, if you start a project and you're not sure if it's going right and you're like, Mom, you know, so maybe you don't call for Mom at the volunteer place, but it's nice. It's forgiving, right?
No, that was, you know, in the learning phase. Yeah.
That's right.
It really is. And that's why it's great, too, because kind of when I was first learning how to upcycle and I'd, like you said, be like, Mom, Dad, when I was younger, like, I need help. That's kind of like they have the same ability to be like, Sicily, like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. And that's totally okay. Like, I tell them, like, don't be afraid to mess up because it's wood. You can always fix it. Like, we can always, you know, sand it back down, put some wood filler in, like, paint over it with a different color. Like, don't worry about it. Like, just try your best. And that's the only way you're going to learn. So it's never a concern here. And our volunteers are never scared of that because they know, like, who cares? You're learning. Like, this is how you learn. And now you can take this skill with you for however long. If you want to do it when you don't volunteer here, then now you can upcycle furniture on your own. Or now you know how to, you know, fix small things in your house. It's just super handy to know.
Great. So tell us about why upcycling is important to you. And like the term, even before you started the before you start Upcycle for Change, why upcycling was important to you?
Yeah, when I first took an interest in upcycling, I think it was honestly because I loved making things from like nothing and making them exactly how I wanted to. And I found a lot of old furniture, like especially like antique furniture, had like some really cool stories behind it. So that's what originally why I became pretty interested in it. Then I started learning about how it prevents, you know, landfill and how it prevents waste and how it's really good for the environment. And then that was another really appealing factor of it too. So the whole concept of it altogether just became interesting to me and just became a hobby pretty much. And then when I was looking to start Upcycle for Change, I was like, well, this is great because it's so affordable to upcycle furniture. So, I mean, while upcycling it for other people, we're also spreading this message that if you can't afford to go out and, you know, buy a new dresser or buy a new coffee table or kitchen table, like, we'll teach you how to do it in an affordable way as well. Like, it doesn't have to cost you, you know, $400 or $500 to get a new kitchen table that you like. Like, there's other ways around that. So that was another good thing too, where sometimes on our platform, we share upcycling videos or like tips or, you know, this only costed us this much money to make, showing that, you know, if you're not able to afford it, we're definitely here to help too. Like, feel free to reach out with any questions. And with the landfill too, the furniture bank, they use as much furniture as they can. However, they're so busy. So that's why being able to upcycle the furniture that they can't use prevents extra waste going into landfills as well. So that's an amazing part of it as well. And for those reasons, we do focus on the environmental reasons when we talk to some people. And with at Brock, we have funding through their green levy, which is a certain amount of money taken off of each credit because our initiative is eco-friendly, and it does also focus on removing furniture from landfills because that's what we are doing by saving furniture that can't be used. So it's awesome.
I love it. I love it. I love that Brock is supporting that as well. That's really nice. Right. It's good to hear that. Yeah, so looking at upcycling, it seems to be becoming more of a common term. We have our Upcycle Canada store. We have people coming to the store thinking we're a bicycle shop, a spin class, because we have the word cycle in the name. Oh, yeah. You don't know. Like, they come with really? A broken chain and can you fix my bike? I'm like, I have no idea. But it's just, there's some people just don't understand what the term means, right? So seeing upcycle for change, it just helps people to kind of equate, what is upcycling? I get it now. I understand what you're doing, right? So more people who use that term and make it more relevant, I think the better. So it's amazing what you're doing, really. Mm-hmm. How many volunteers do you have? Say, like today, you're going to be doing an event. How many volunteers would you have today?
So because our space is smaller and with COVID, normally we'd have around 5 people, which is great. And in the summer, we can have more because we have a big space out back outside. So we host volunteer events out there where we can have, 15 people come if they want to. Right now, we are just doing around 3 to 4 people socially distanced just to make things, make it comfortable for everybody, just make it safe, just avoid any problems. So we're doing it that way. And, smaller groups are good sometimes because it gives, people a chance to, speak to the people that are beside them and they're working around. And that, like with these smaller events, are kind of how people have made, some meaningful friendships and good friends, especially with first years at Brock who come to volunteer and they don't know anyone at Brock. If they're like an international student, we've had that happen. And then they leave making a couple friends. So it's awesome. These small events on Saturday mornings have been a little bit of a blessing in disguise for those reasons. And definitely when the weather gets better, we're going to have some outside events too, which will be awesome. And we'll be able to have tons of people come and get a lot of furniture done in one day. And I think those will be some really good weekends, and we'll have to let you guys know about them, and you guys should come on down.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So what about funding? It takes money to do this. It's not all free. I know some of the furniture's coming. You get some donation of paint, which we love to do, but it does cost money to do this. So how can people financially support Upcycle for Change?
Yeah, so right now, we've been kind of functioning off of really kind people like yourself. You guys have helped a lot. And the paint colors are really awesome. We've had a lot of fun with them. We posted some photos on our Instagram of some kids' furniture we did, like chairs and toy shelves, which are super awesome. And we have some smaller kids' benches that we're going to be doing after this round of furniture is flooded out. But besides that, we rely on things like the Green Levy at Brock is super helpful. We had Rising Youth grants, just government grants, funding from school, sponsorships from hardware stores, like Home Hardware has donated products to us in the past. You guys donate products to us. Just getting by like that for now. And if anyone wants to support us, if you own a store or have supplies, reach out to us through Instagram, and we do kind of relationships like that where people donate physical items to us. And if you want to sponsor as well, then that is also an option, like monetary sponsor. And that money strictly goes towards paint, wood supplies for wood, tools, everything like that. We're just kind of going as we can. We're still fairly new.
So I don't know if you I don't know if you thought of this before, and I've met another vendor who does something similar. But they went on Amazon and they created a list of items that they need on a regular basis. And they make it as a public thing where people can access this list. And I can go into their list and I can click on something that they need. I can order it and have it shipped to them. And they just receive it. Yeah. So paintbrushes, paint rollers. Whatever you need on a regular basis, masking tape, whatever, right? You just make a list and then you make that list public for people to use. And like I said, anybody who's listening to this around the world, anywhere in the world, you can be in New York City and be like, I love what's going on at Upcycle for Change. I want to help. I can go on your Amazon. I can click your thing and send ship to, pick the address, pick you, off it goes. And it just shows up. So think about maybe setting up something like that, because that just lives in the world and it's there every day. We don't know and you don't know when somebody might hear this episode, right? And our hope and our desire is people listening to this would connect with this and go, I want to help, but I'm on the other side of the country. I'm in another continent, right? I'm in the UK, and I want to help this great initiative, but I don't know how. So if I had access to something like that, then I could just every time I have a few dollars, I can send you a roll of masking tape, or I can send you a paintbrush or a roller or whatever. And it's just the things that you need every day. And it would just keep coming in, just showing up, right? And maybe think of that. That might be an idea, you know, because that's something we would definitely like to support too, right? Because then we could share the list for you as well. And then people can connect with you. Maybe they can't send you the money or whatever, but they want to do something tangible to help you. It's an option, but we can talk about that feature and see if we can make you promote that. Right.
Very cool.
We can share that on Instagram and everything, and people can then connect. Yeah. So you just have to have an Amazon account and then just make that public. So.
Oh, trust me. I got an Amazon account. Yep.
There you go. That's great. So you have no shortage of furniture coming to you, right? That's not a problem.
No.
You're not looking for extra donations, right?
Well, there's definitely slow season. So right now with the weather like this, I don't think people's first priority is filling their van full of old furniture and driving across the snowy city in the freezing cold to donate.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them. That's not what I'm doing right now either. So it seems like spring and summer are really high donation, you know, traffic times, which is awesome, like to a point where it's held us over really until now. So that's great. And now it just seems like it's starting to slow down a bit in the winter months, but I have no doubt that it'll pick up again when the spring comes and people start spring cleaning and, you know, cleaning their house out and everything. They're like, I don't want this, that. And it normally ends up here. So that's awesome. And we have choice on what we, you know, want to work on and what we think would be the most productive thing and helpful thing to work on as well. We have to think about that too. What items are most in demand? And it's not always about upcycling what seems like the most fun to upcycle. In my opinion, everything's fun to upcycle. So I want to upcycle the most useful pieces of furniture that people can utilize in their home.
Okay.
And that's easiest to give to people as well.
Okay. So is there something that you get rarely, but you really could use more of as far as a donation, whether it be maybe say kid size furniture or a certain item that comes in maybe once every 2-3 months, but if you had this item every day, you could help more people. Is there anything like that you could use more of?
Yeah, I think for us, it's mostly we get a lot of dressers, but more dressers with nightstands, so bedroom sets, because a lot of the time they go so fast and then we're left waiting for more, where I think, you know, more dressers would be definitely helpful, and, you know, bedstands, so the furniture bank could provide, you know, users or people using the service with a full bedroom set that is, you know, complete and nice and they can feel comfortable in their bedroom and at home and have everything all set up the way they want, a dresser for their clothing, nightstand for their, you know, what people use nightstands for. And then the furniture bank would provide a mattress with a bed frame and all that. That's probably what I would say would be the most in demand piece of furniture that we could definitely use more of. Yeah.
What has been so far for you been the most rewarding experience with the person that's receiving, whether financially or a piece of furniture through what you're doing at Upcycle for Change? What has been one of the most rewarding things that have happened to you personally that kind of makes you go, yeah, this is the right thing for me to be doing right now?
Mm-hmm. Actually, again, it was with a bedroom set. So one of the first things we ever upcycled for Upcycle for Change was a dresser with matching nightstands. And, it, you know, we finished it and it sat here for a little bit and they were waiting to bring it, the furniture bank, when I say wait, they, so they were waiting to bring it to the perfect home and they were able to bring it to a young family. And Matt said, who's the director of the furniture bank here, said that her reaction was just like priceless because she's like, I love the color. I love everything about it. And she was just so happy that, you know, she had a nice matching set and she can put it in her room. And she was just very thankful by the sounds of it. I didn't see her personally because the furniture bank are the ones who are dropping these pieces off to people's homes. But, you know, what they relayed back to me was it was really heartwarming. And I was glad that, like, you know, the first furniture pieces that we did as Upcycle for Change with our, like, first volunteers ever was really appreciated. So that was awesome. And then right now, I mean, we haven't given it to that facility yet or people yet, but we sometimes it's the small fun things like this. We had a rocking horse. And it was an old rocking horse, and we're changing it into a zebra, which is just for fun. Like, it's just so cute, and a child's going to love it. I already know that wherever it goes, if it goes to, you know, a young parent's house with children, or if it goes to, like, FACS, even, for example, is an option we're thinking of as well, yeah. Putting it in their playroom. That'll be awesome. I just know I'm very excited about that. It's getting finished today. The clear coat's going on, so kids can be rough with it, and it's not going to get all scuffed up, so... That's good. Nice. And I'm really happy about that one.
That's amazing.
Very cool.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I was thinking too, like, you might, I don't know if you're keeping a tally of what you've donated or processed at this point. Some of the stuff you get as well, like I know with the furniture bank that you're receiving some of the things that maybe need a little TLC. Do you have to repaint all of them or is some of it just an easy kind of finish clear coat or do you have different steps for stuff?
Honestly, most of it is repainting as well. We have a couple dressers that we're doing right now that are going to be one job, like one heck of a job. So we are getting ready with, you know, scraping off because they're not real wood. It has kind of like that some laminate on there too. So it's a weird mixture that we're dealing with. So it's almost like certain parts of the dresser have to be treated a different way. It's quite odd, but we're going to do our best with it. So a lot of the time we just end up sanding down wood filling, making sure everything's even, fixing up anything that need to be fixed. So new hardware, making sure all the legs are on tight. Some drawers, the bottom have popped out. So we have to re-glue and clamp and seal those drawers and fix those. And then repainting everything. Always putting a good top coat so people can be rough with it. I don't want them to worry about scuffing it or, you know, putting their coffee cup on it and it leaving a ring. I want it to be fully ready so it can just go into someone's home. But there has not been a piece yet that we just, you know, sand and put a clear coat on or, you know, fix up a little bit like that and send out. A lot of the volunteers love being creative as well. So we take it as an opportunity to really make something like pretty fun out of it. And that's, you know, the fun part about it, the creative part about it. So definitely we love to repaint and do the whole thing from bottom to top.
Do you know how many pieces you may have processed so far? Like, you know, compared to like a dozen or maybe 20, 30?
Yeah, we're getting close to around 15 or 16 full pieces, which is awesome. And I mean, it's been a little bit on and off because of COVID. There's definitely been times where like I myself had COVID. So there's 2 weeks, you know, done there where can't come in or someone in my family has COVID. So can't come in there because they're just trying to be safe. Or there's been times where we have volunteers and I screen them before they come in. Like I just message them first, hey, just want to check up on everything. How you feeling? There's been times where they're not feeling well or better safe than sorry. So definitely has not been the most smooth process, but it hasn't been for anyone over this past year. That's nothing that's different. So with what we've had so far and just being a new startup, it's been really good. We've gotten some good traction and, you know, we're doing good. We got a good flow going as much as we can.
So you talk about Instagram as your main way of communicating with people. Tell me how that's been as far as using Instagram. Tell me about some about your followers, maybe some of your feedback and your interactions on Instagram.
Yeah. When I first started, I honestly shared the Upcycle for Change Instagram through what was my old business page before, Finders Keepers. So I shared it through them like, hey guys, not going to really be here on Finders Keepers anymore. Kind of taking a turn of events and not doing this for money anymore. So feel free to give us a follow. It's now kind of a charity on a different page. So we had a lot of people from Finders Keepers follow us, which was just people who love upcycling, love like vintage decor, just community members like Melissa from Pocket Change. She was really big with Finders Keepers. So
yeah,
we had a lot of community members like that who were following us with Upcycle for Change first. And then I started sharing it with Brock more, and our follower base turned into a lot more students, a lot more, you know, younger individuals, which was awesome because they were the ones who were like, well, I do need volunteer hours, and this seems a lot more fun than some of the other options, or hunting for volunteer opportunities that are kind of hard to get right now, or a lot of them are virtual, and people are just craving for like in-person interaction, like real, like face-to-face. So that's been awesome. Our follower base has, you know, turned into a lot of Niagara College and Brock students, which I love. I'm one of them. Graduated from Niagara College and now at Brock. So it's perfect. Best of both worlds. And it's been great because nice. We can share lots of flipping videos, which are really fun. It's just an easy platform to people like message me if they have questions. It keeps everything central. And it's just super easy to share content on there. The simpler, the better for me. So one platform's good. And if you want to email me, I'll give you just my school email right now because I'm going to get back to you faster than I would having a separate email, just being honest. So that's why keep one platform.
That's great.
Yeah, good to go. And Instagram is just the easiest one for me to navigate that reaches the most, you know, younger people who are students. Facebook just wasn't really it for me. I tried and yeah.
That's very smart. It's very, very smart.
Facebook didn't have the same effect that Instagram did.
I like it. It's instead of trying to be everywhere all the time and spin all those plates and try to answer somebody here and a DM over there and an email over there. You just one thing. This is it. This is where I am. Find me. And this is how we can communicate.
Yeah, it's good. Easiest like for it. Me. And I just.
One other thing I was.
Sir, there's that leg. So you can go ahead.
So go ahead. Oh, okay. I was just thinking when you're doing the refinishing, do you have pictures of your process? So that you can see like your initial picture of when it comes and the stages
so
you go through.
That's funny you say that because that's one thing I'm working on. I'm so eager to like, let's just do it. Like the volunteers get here, like, let's go. And I'm not taking photos of the before. So now I consciously, before they come in, I'm like, okay, photos, step number one. Okay, then they come in because or else I won't. I just slips my mind because I get too excited about it. So yes, for the vast majority of the furniture we've done, I have the kind of like before and process and after photos, and I've turned a lot of them into some flipping videos, and I have some folders ready right now with content that needs to be changed into a flipping video. And it's great because those can be a lot of work. And I have a new volunteer, which is awesome. And she isn't able to come in physically in person, but she's been helping me a lot with my creating content. And, you know, that like does so much for me, like, because I'm so busy and I'm always like doing more hands-on stuff. And I don't want to neglect posting because I want people to see what we're doing too. I want them to go on Instagram and see, oh, this is what they did this week, or here's a couple flipping videos. So they understand more. So she's been amazing and it's definitely helped. So there are more flipping videos coming out courtesy of her. So that's awesome.
That's good. Awesome. Yeah. So you have volunteers in different ways, right? Physically that's working with the product, helping you on social media. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different ways people can help. So if I'm in, and we're going to end off soon because you got to run. So if I'm in like another province, country, and I love what you're doing, and I want to start this. I have an Instagram account with one follower, but I want to do an Upcycle for Change model. Can I reach out to you? Will you help me in my city, my country? Can I pick your brain and learn from you? Are you available for that?
100%. I am always happy to talk to whoever wants to talk. You can reach out to me through Instagram if you want to hop on like a telephone call, a Zoom call. I'm totally okay with that. But like, I want people to know that this is a model that's, if you have a furniture bank in your area, and they're open to this, it's totally doable. Like, it's not out of reach for anybody if this is something that you're interested in. It just took me a little bit to figure out how to put kind of like my passion into a funnel, I guess, or a situation that can help people. But once I figured that out, like, I realized that really anyone can do it. If this is what you want to do, then I will definitely help you create your own model wherever you live. And we can work together, and I'll tell you kind of what I've needed and what I've done that worked, which should help you do it. And then you can kind of hit the ground running like that. It's totally doable, and it definitely makes a difference in your community as well. 110%.
All right, Cicely. So we're going to have everybody go that listens to this podcast are going to go to Instagram, Upcycle for Change with the number 4. Yes. And Upcycle for Change, they're going to follow you. They're going to send you a DM and say, I heard you on the Upcycle Canada podcast. I love what you're doing. Tell us when that Amazon list is there, and we're going to start shopping for you. We would love to do that.
Tell them.
And we love to throw in a secret word before you go. Because people listen to this podcast, they're going to listen right to the end. So if they get a secret word, we are going to send them a little surprise in the mail. So I need you to pick a secret word that the people have listened to all the way to the end of the podcast. If they come back to us with that secret word from Cicely, we will send them something in the mail. So do you have a secret word in your mind?
That's what?
Any word you think of.
Ooh, let's do... Let's do wood filler. Not that fun, but it's going to be hard. Wood filler. It's very useful.
Wood filler. So if somebody sends
us... people coming inside your store.
Yeah.
Wood filler.
Wood filler. Secret word. Right? So you send us the word wood filler, and we will send you a surprise in the mail from Upcycle Canada and from Upcycle for Change, because we love Upcycle for Change. Everyone's going to go to your Instagram. They're going to give you a like, a follow, a share, and we're going to be following along and watch your journey grow. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
I know you got to run because your volunteers are coming. I just want to encourage you. Mm-hmm. You're doing a wonderful thing, and it's coming from a good place. You can tell it's coming from a good place, and people around you notice, and you're doing something to help others. So if I did what you're doing when I was in my 20s, I think I would be in a different spot in life. You have out exceeded a lot of 20-year-olds. Like I said, a lot of people could be doing a lot of selfish things, all about yourself, but you're all about others. And I just want to thank you for that, because you're leading the way for many people. So thank you for what you're doing for Upcycle for Change.
I appreciate that, Dave. That's so kind of you guys. Thank you. Okay. Without you guys, we wouldn't have all the fun colors for our furniture. You guys help a lot. It takes a lot of stress off of trying to find paint. And for example, you guys are dropping off primer today. Freaking fantastic. Yeah. Thank you. Because we need it. And because of that, we can get the dresser started today too. Okay. So that's awesome. And I appreciate it. I was going to say, I encourage everyone to just talk to people in your community. People are nice. Like, just talk. Make friends. Help people.
So we want to help as much as we can.
And
we
really thank them. It'll make you feel good. If that's what it will anyways. So people just need to be open. It's like, say hi to someone on the street. It'll make a difference in their day and yours too. People don't do that enough. Just like the small things.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Generally down with the paint. Get to work. You got lots of work to do. Let's go. Upcycle for Change, everybody. Go to Instagram. Check them out.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. See ya. All right, bye.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.
This is Dave from the podcast. You jump in on quick to tell you about TrueMediaSolutions.ca. What is TrueMediaSolutions.ca, you're asking? Well, truemediasolutions.ca is the umbrella that is over all the different podcasts that we do here for you. We have several different podcasts. So if you go to truemediasolutions.ca, take a look and you'll find all of the different podcasts that my wife Jennifer or myself do, either separately or together. Check us out. Find out more about the podcast that we're doing by going to truemediasolutions.ca. We'll meet you over there. See you soon.